Spirit in the service. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for that kind of a service. Amen. It's just good. Amen. And isn't it good to come to the house of God and hear singing and see people smile and raise their hand and give God glory? I tell you, praise the Lord. That's Thanksgiving's all about giving thanks and letting Him have the glory. Why don't you turn your Bibles, John chapter number 20. While you're finding that, find John chapter 5, and we'll read some from both passages before we sit down. John chapter 20, verse number 30 and 31, we've been reading for the series that we're in. I want to continue that. I thought about it being the week of Thanksgiving, but I don't know of anything more precious than grace and being thankful for the grace of God. Brother Sam just testified about the grace of God in his life, him being adopted into the family that he was, that he could be brought to church, hear the gospel, get saved. You can't explain that other than the grace of God, just the grace of God. How many other children were there out there like him? How many others needed that? But God saw fit that he be in that. Well, we'll get to some of this as we go tonight. In John chapter 20, verse number 30 and 31, will you stand, please? And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. How precious these are. Turn back to John chapter 5 and verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. We'll stop reading there, bow our heads, and have prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. And thank you, Lord, for this service. What a joy to our heart, Lord, to hear the singing, hear the praise, see the joy, enjoy the blessings of the Spirit and the power of God in this place. I thank you for the choirs that sung. Thank you for Brother Sam and testimony and Casey. And I pray, God, you bless them. And I thank you and praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege tonight and now to stand here and be in this place. I need you now to help me for a few minutes. I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Ghost would so illuminate my mind and help me to think and be able to say what I need him to say here tonight. Then I pray in this service, Lord, there are folk that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. My heart's desire, my cry to God is that you'll convict them, draw them, and I pray they'll come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Then I pray for those who are here discouraged, and some may be out of your will, some may be in different situations, those that are sick, I pray you'd help them. Then, Father, I think of Brother Vires tonight, and I pray for him and his brothers. They travel and they try to get there to his mother, and I pray thy will be done. Will you help them in a special way, and we'll give you glory and praise. Now the preaching is in your hands. And I realize the fact, God, that we can do nothing without you. And so I humbly, best I know how, commit myself unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're picking up on this subject of signs of to explain salvation. And we've talked about the fact. Now, there's more than seven miracles in the book of John. And there are many miracles given throughout the Gospels that Jesus did. But we're talking about seven of them. The first three tell a way of salvation. And the last three tell the results of salvation. Right in the middle, you have the feeding of the 5,000. And that man's responsibility in carrying the bread of life. And we thank God for the privilege to do so. What a great privilege it is to preach, to share, tell people about Jesus, and let God do for us what he wants to do. We talked about the Word in John chapter 2. When Jesus turned water to wine, we talked about how he said, fill the pots up, empty pots, earthen pots. Fill them up to the brim. And talked about putting the Word of God in. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm thankful for the Bible, the Word of God. Then we talked about faith. And that centurion in chapter 4 that came in behalf of his son and asked Jesus for help. And Jesus told him, go his way. His son was made whole. And he believed what God said. And he went his way and his son was healed. And he had faith. And that faith certainly is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And there's reward of them that diligently seek him. So faith must be there. Tonight we come to that subject of grace. Subject of grace. And you have to say it's grace. Here's this man laying. And he's the one that Jesus goes to. There's many folk there. But this one Jesus picks out and does what he does. Now there's a lot of questions been asked about a lot of these things here in this scripture. And I'm going to give you some deep theology. Can't even say it. It's going to be so deep I can't even get to say it. Theology. And you say, preacher, you've never preached any deep theology in your life. Well, I won't tonight either. I'm just going to tell you about something I think is the answer for a lot of questions. I've read different commentaries, different people had to say about this portion of scripture, and especially this in verse number 4. But I'm going to explain that to you and tell you all about it. How you like that? You like that. All right, verse number 4. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Well, preacher, I don't read of anything else like that in the Bible anywhere. I don't know what the background of this verse is. I don't know what it's about. Nothing like that. What does it mean? What is the deep theology meaning of this? Well, I'll tell you. It means that an angel came down at a certain time of the year, troubled the water, and the first one stepped in got made whole. Well, that's deep, man. That's exactly what the Word of God says. That's exactly what I believe. I don't know any other way to explain that. I don't think you can explain it. It's just something that God put in his Word, and we just believe what God said. And I say, hallelujah. I don't try to go beyond that. And that's the only place I know it's mentioned. The only place I know anything about it is just there. And an angel came down, stirred the water, first one in, got healed. Now say hallelujah and praise his holy name for that. Let's look at the man's condition here first of all. He'd been 38 years in that condition and certainly was in a condition of awful being. And verse number 3, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And so he was among many that were laying there waiting. And the verse number 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. Jesus had asked him, would you be made whole? He said, sir, I have no man to put me into the water when it stirred. He said, I don't have anybody to help me. I just wanted to bring that here right now. I'm glad, thank God, somebody told me about Jesus. I'm glad we have the privilege to tell other people about Jesus. And there's many folk laying out here that need somebody to come by and tell them about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Look in verse number 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. He said, now you've been made whole, but don't go on in the sin. Undoubtedly, some result of some sin. and he was laying in an awful condition, but Jesus made him whole, and he said, now go and don't get back in that sin and get in a worse condition. Let God help you. That reminds me of what we heard this morning in the preaching by Brother Morris and how we ought to live our lives and be a testimony of the grace of God and God's work in our hearts and in our lives. And so here we find this man, because of sin, he was laying there in that condition. And I say to you tonight, sin, that's why we all have the infirmities, because of sin. It's not necessarily direct punishment for sin, but we never had any sickness, hadn't been sin come in the world. Wouldn't have any infirmities at all if sickness hadn't come. And sickness came by sin, and sin came by disobedience of man to God. And so we find ourselves in this place. I pray that God would help us tonight get the message of what I'm trying to say here about grace. Now, the condition of man, he was a sinner. He was in sin. He needed help. Every sinner needs help. Every sinner needs some man to help them. You remember in Acts chapter 8, an Ethiopian eunuch was there, and he was reading Isaiah 53, and Philip went down because the Holy Ghost sent him down there. And Philip asked him, could he understand what he was reading? He said, how can I, except some man would come and help me? I say to you tonight, I'm glad we can be that some man. We can be that somebody, that some lady, that some child that can tell somebody about Jesus Christ and help them come in. Amen. Now, I want to look at the first. Secondly, I just want to talk about grace for a few minutes. Grace, that unmerited favor of God. That grace, Christ, God's riches at Christ's expense. Look in verse number 2. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. That word Bethesda means a house of mercy or the house of grace. By the way, when you find the mercy of God to keep you out of hell, you'll find enough grace there to take you to heaven. Mercy keeps us out of hell, but grace takes us to heaven. Grace gives us what we do not deserve. And I'm glad, praise God, for amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now, I thank God tonight that we enter into Thanksgiving season, and there's a lot of things I'm thankful for, a lot of things I want to praise God about, but I thank him for amazing grace. That one day he came by my way. This man been laying there 38 years. There's all kinds of sick folk around him, but Jesus comes to him. That's grace. I mentioned Brother Sam a while ago. That's grace in his life. Whoever you are, it's the grace of God that you are where you are, and that somebody told you about Jesus. You didn't deserve it. This man was no more deserving than any other person there. It's just the grace of God. Hallelujah. That kind of get deep like that pool I talking about and that angel coming down. How do you explain it? You don't. You just say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And thank God he's sovereign God and does what he wants to do when he wants to do it and how he wants to do it. And so it was Bethesda. And then he said to have five porches. At number five is a number of grace. I say hallelujah. He's laying right there in the place of grace. He's in the porches, a number of grace. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm glad you're here in the place of grace. Grace of God moving and thanking God for his wonderful grace that he gives to us. Now, here, as we look at this, I want us to look at something that I just want to share it. Somehow God led me to this, and I don't know how to explain it either. Just I want to share it with you. Look in John chapter 5 and verse number 21. John 5, 21. For the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Now, look in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse number 14. What shall we say then? Is our unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Now, he had just been talking about Esau and Isaac here. He's talking about them and or Jacob, rather, not Isaac. Jacob, and said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Of course, you know the story of Esau, how he sold his birthright and all of that. And then verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I want you to look in Romans chapter 11. and verse number 32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now he's saying concluded them all in unbelief, now that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of his wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now I want you to get that tonight, because sometimes we get hung up and we get looking at one scripture about taking all the scripture, and we get messed up in our theology and what we do believe. And it is grace, and grace God does pick out, God does do. But you remember this, God knows everything from beginning to end. God knew what Esau was going to do before Esau ever come out of the womb. God knew what was going to happen. But Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world at least 4,000 years before he ever died on the cross of Calvary. And so we know that. Look at verse number 34. Who have known the mind of the Lord, and who have been his counselor, or who have first given to him, it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, whom be glory forever. Amen. And so God is telling us here the glory of God and how wonderful he is and how much he knows and what he does. And it's unexplainable to us. And the sovereignty of God, God is sovereign God. And I'm not half a Calvinist. I'm telling you, he's sovereign God. But he says, whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. And God knows the beginning from the ending from the beginning. So he knows everything in between. We just have a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of sight right now of what we see. But he knows everything, sees the big picture. I want to say to you tonight, I'm glad, praise God, I have a God that is so great, he knows everything. And I don't have to question him. I was reading a commentary about verse number 4 here I read you tonight. And they was kind of passing it off as a superstition or something, trying to explain it away. But I believe it just like God said it. He said, the word of God said, for an angel came down, stirred the water. I believe what God said about it. Amen. And first one stepped in, God, I don't know. That's all I know to say about that. And same thing about the grace of God. Grace of God is just God's mercy, God's us receiving unmerited favor that we don't deserve. These other people out here deserve just as much as we deserve, but somehow God moved in our hearts, and Brother Hazelwood picked us up and found us out there. You say, preach, explain all that. I'm not trying to explain it to you. I'm just trying to tell you it's real. I'm just trying to tell you it's real, praise God. And you're here tonight not by accident, but by the grace of God. And you're here tonight not just because it happened to happen, but because God's grace is merciful to you, and you've come into the place of grace, and you can be saved and born into the family of God. I say hallelujah and praise his holy name. Now look at the place, if you will, with me, please. We've looked at the condition of him and the grace that's abounding here. But look at the place in verse number 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Now there is by the sheep market, that speaks of sacrifice. And you remember all through the Bible, the lambs were sacrificed, sheep were sacrificed and all of that. You can't find the grace of God outside of Calvary. I'm glad, praise God, it was at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. And I say, hallelujah. I'm glad it's real that God at the cross, the grace of God abounded. Grace got me there. Grace did a work in me at the foot of Calvary. I'm glad there is a sacrifice for sin. God could not give me what I don't deserve if somebody did not take what I do deserve and pay the righteousness to God for me. And Jesus did that for me. And I say to you tonight, hallelujah for a living God that has grace abounding unto us and helps us on the way. Amen. And here's by the sheep market. And sacrifice and sin must be dealt with. It has to be dealt with. And here it is. Now, let me move on quickly here. I'll give you number 4. We've been 3 already. We got 5 points tonight, so we're moving on with it. But I want you to get it, because amazing grace is amazing. And I'd love to see the grace work in your heart tonight that's not saved. Then us that are saved, that we'll just go out of here rejoicing in the fact the grace of God has abounded to us. As Brother Marsh said this morning, we can go out and live a life clean before God and for the world and let them know there is a Savior that saves. Hallelujah. Amen. And let the light shine. Brother Morris mentioned that this morning. I thank God we can let that light shine. I want to talk about this just for a minute. When did this happen? When did this happen? This man was laying at this pool of Bethesda. He was laying there among a bunch of other sick folk. He wanted to get in the water, didn't have anybody to help him. And he was in that place of that mercy and grace of God. But yet he was there in a place of sacrifice beside of that. But when was it? I want you to notice this. It was when he was waiting for the water to move. He was waiting for that supernatural work of the angel sent from heaven. He was waiting for that. He was looking for something that he could see visibly. He was absolutely in a situation that he felt like he had no hope in it. He couldn't get in the water, but yet he was waiting there. And isn't that like a lot of people today? They're lost. They're without God. But yet they're waiting for God to move in some kind of a visible way. Something. And by the way, this is the only time you find this happening here at this pool of Bethesda. And Paul, called Saul, been called Paul later, a light from heaven struck him down. Voice from heaven spoke to him. You don't find other people getting saved that way. And God did it the way he wanted to do because he's sovereign God. And here this man was, but today we have a lot of people that are waiting. They're waiting for a bolt of lightning or God to turn them upside down, do something spectacular or whatever it is. I want you to know here when this man was waiting for that visible something that he could say, here came Jesus by, grace of God working. And Jesus came by and just asked him, will you be made whole? And he didn't see any water moving. He didn't have any great wind blowing. He didn't have any lightning flashing. He simply came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Son of God stood there and said, will thou be made whole? He said, I will, but I have no man to help me. And Jesus realized the fact, and of course he knew all this before, that man was waiting for some man to get him in the water. But he's going to take him beyond that, like the woman at the well. She was come for water. This man was waiting for the water to be moved. But Jesus is the water of life. He is the fountain, amen. He's the artesian well, if you please. And Jesus said to him, take up your bed and walk. And that man immediately, look at it. And verse number 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. Took up his bed and walked on the day. And the day was Sabbath. We'll say about that in a minute. But I'm telling you right now, that man was laying there. Grace was abounding to him. He didn't expect what it was coming. But God said to him, take up your bed and walk. He believed what God said. He got up, took up his bed, and started walking. And I say hallelujah and praise God. I want you to notice where he walked to. Look in verse 14 again. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. He was in the house of God. Hey, praise the Lord. Amen. And again, this morning, Brother Marsh mentioned about going to the house of God. He didn't know how people say they're saved and didn't want to go to the house of God. I don't either. House of God. Just think about what's been here tonight. We'd have missed all that. Now, whether the preaching good or not good, we'll not even think about that. But the choir singing. And the praise of God going on. Then the youth choir singing. And testimonies being given. All that we would have missed had we not been in the house of God. I'm sure tonight we'll go our way up from the house of God saying, it's been good to be in the house of God tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been good. And I praise his holy name. We need to go to the house of God. I remember over there in Acts when that man was laying at the gate called Beautiful. The gate called Beautiful. And here come Jesus, not Jesus, but Peter and James by at the hour of prayer. And he's asking for alms. And they said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto thee. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and walk. Took the man by the hand. He leaped up, started leaping and praising. You know where he went? Went in the house of God. You know what he's doing? He's leaping and praising God. Hallelujah, amen. I mean, praise God. These men, when they got well, first place they wanted to go is the house of God. I say to you tonight, thank God for the house of God. And we can go there. I praise his holy name and give him glory for his goodness to us. Jesus came by. The same day was the Sabbath day. That Sabbath day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those religious leaders, they tried to get him under the law and said, I ought not be doing that. But I want you to know, the law can't save. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law can't save you. And that law didn't have anything to do with it. He's just obeying Jesus. But notice the last thing I want to show you. He obeyed what Jesus said, did what Jesus said. But notice he witnessed in verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus that made him whole. He got made whole, went to the house of God. Grace was abounding to him. He got right with God, picked out that whole number out of grace, grace, grace. And then he went in the temple. And Jesus finds him there. I'm glad tonight we're in the house of God. And God has found you here. I pray that God's speaking to your heart and you'll come to Jesus. Or if you need to get right with God for however your life may be, I pray that you'll respond. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.